It's on now? Hey, there we go. All right. And so that's why we're talking about necessary sins. That sounds a lot better. And so in the book of Psalm, in chapter 139, verses 23 to 24, we need to be reminded of what it is that God wants to do in our life. This is a verse that has appeared every single week of this series, and it will for the rest of this series. And it says this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And lead me in the way everlasting. And so I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and I want you now to tell them that this message is for you. Go ahead. This message is for you. And then you say to them, you have 12 seconds to share any kind of juicy news with me that you have. What do you got? Because after this message, you guys might not have much to talk about with your friends or your family. Because if we're honest, gossip takes up so much of what we do when we're talking with people. And after today, we're just going to learn that we don't need to do these kinds of things anymore. And if you don't like the sermon, if you don't agree with it, that's fine. You can go gossip about me afterwards in the hallways or on the way out. And it's just a struggle. It's a challenge. Gossip is rampant in our culture and in our society. Have you ever been gossiped about? Have you ever had somebody talk about you and it's hurt? I mean, raise your hand if it's hurt before. Raise your hand if someone's gossiped about you or if someone's talked about you behind your back. And that hurts. Those that didn't raise your hand, you need to go back to week one. We did that sermon on lying. And you know you've been gossiped about and you know that it hurts and you just didn't raise your hand, but that's good. We all understand what this does in our lives. Now, in my line of work, I am an easy target for gossip. A pastor in any church in our line of work is an easy target for gossip. It's easy for people to kind of just have their thoughts and their feelings and to share their thoughts and feelings about their pastor with other people. And so, you know, for instance, I've heard things like people talking about the way that I dress and them liking it or probably in some cases not liking it, which is why they're talking about it. I say, well, he wears his shirt untucked. And I said, really? I guess my shirt is untucked. Maybe it's from all the movements up here when I'm moving around. And by the time, no, I think I wear it untucked purposefully. How about the jeans? And so, well, he wears jeans. And they say, well, he wears tennis shoes. Now I'm here to tell you that I don't consider Skechers to be tennis shoes. And I know that they're white, and maybe they look like tennis shoes, but to me, these are dress shoes. When they're Skechers, they're dress shoes. If you want me to come up with some tennis shoes, I can come up with some Nike Shocks up in this place. I mean, those are tennis shoes. Now listen, Cousin Eddie got away with wearing white dress shoes in Christmas vacation, or no, and that's in their original vacation, and he gave them to Clark. And so white shoes are good up here, right? And so every once in a while, I'll hear things about people. It used to be about the way that I dress, and I think we moved on from that. Or when something happens in the church, and something good happens, or something new happens, or there's a challenge that happens, or things don't go right. You know, naturally, people think, well, what is that pastor doing? Is he just sitting up there in that room on his throne pushing buttons again? I mean, who else is making decisions around here? And so there's all those kind of chirping that goes on in the conversations. Or hey, listen, his kids aren't perfect. Or, man, his parenting skills. He's got some challenges going on. Because listen, any pastor, the family's always kind of the target when it comes to pastoral leadership because we expect the pastor to be perfect, he or she to be perfect, and their families to be perfect. And I'm here to tell you, we do not have the perfect family. My kids have struggles. I have struggles. I am not the perfect parent. Don't say anything, Isabel. I understand. I already know that. And so listen, when you're gossiping about people and you say, hey, listen, they're not the perfect parents, tell me something I don't know. I understand that. Or listen, well, he's no Brian Law. He's no Brian Law. Listen, I get that. Brian would tell you that I'm not him, and I would tell you that I'm not him either, okay? And I love Brian Law. He and I are great friends. Brian happens to be the former pastor. Or Jeff Conrad, you can go before him. He's no Jeff Conrad. Listen, I understand that. Jeff would say the same thing about me. But I got a couple things up on Brian that I wanted to cover with you on this one. Listen, if you're stuck in a dark alley, wouldn't you rather have a guy with the last name of Alice rather than the last name of Law? I mean, come on. Isn't that more powerful? I mean, come on. I mean, which one brings more power and strength, Alice or Law? I mean, well, maybe I don't win that one. But I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and I just decided I'm better looking than Brian. And I call him up and tell him that. I don't know what it is. Who knows? Who knows? Now, that's just self-avowed right there. That's just me. That's just me talking to myself. I could do that every once in a while. But you understand where I'm going. I mean, people compare pastor to pastor and how this regime is going versus that regime, or this leadership is going versus that leadership. And it just kind of comes out. Or hey, listen, here's the one that I hear from all the time. Well, all Rolling Plains Church cares about is money. All the church cares about is money. Pastor John, that's all he cares about is money. Now, if you have ever heard, and this is why we say this, because I actually have the gall to preach on money. And guess what? If you don't have a pastor that doesn't preach on, if you have a pastor that doesn't preach on money, then they're not preaching the gospel, because it's the most talked about topic in all of Jesus' teachings in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we do that here. But I've always said to you, listen, God doesn't need your money. The church doesn't need your money. I don't need your money. We're just teaching you that you need to give it. It's a freedom thing. It's a grace thing. It's a control thing. It's a trust thing. And when you learn to give of your money, it's an absolute blessing. So we've got to teach on it. But every once in a while we hear, oh, all that church does is they just care about money. Why? Because we just happen to talk about money. Now, every single one of you has had a situation or circumstance, whether it's at school, where you go to school, and you hear it in schools all the time. You know, she's going with this person, or he's going with that person, or they're not going anymore. This person did that to this person, and they ought to dress better, and I don't know why they're acting this way. And we text it, we Facebook it, we email it, we have phone conversations, we talk in the hallway. You've been to school before, and those things happen. Some of you there right now. Or about your workplace. They call it a water cooler for two reasons. You go there to get a drink of water, and then you also go there to get a drink of juice. Some juicy information on what's happening in people's lives, or what's happening in the workplace, or what did the boss do this, or why did they say that, or boy, that Nancy Smith Baker, Janine, whatever her name is, that I'm sitting next to, I just can't stand her, blah, blah. And we've been a part of these conversations before, and it just seems to be normal in our culture. It just seems to be normal when we're talking to our family and our friends, and it just seems to be a normal part of life. And it kind of starts with, hey, listen, I'm not supposed to say anything, but, or you would not believe what I heard. But everyone is saying such and such and so and so about such and such and so and so. Or, man, you have got to hear this. By the way, you got to hear this. Did you know that Braxton Miller is going to be playing wide receiver for the Ohio State Buckeyes? Now, I can share that with you because that's not gossip, because it came out on the information highway called the internet 2 days ago. And so I'm not telling you any information that shouldn't be shared. It's also good news. Praise God. All right. So we understand this nature of how these conversations start. Now, this is painful and it hurts. It's painful and it hurts. It hurts when it happens to us, but it doesn't hurt enough when it happens to us for it to stop us from doing it to other people. Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean, this is a challenge and a struggle that we all have, and God doesn't want us to think it's okay. He wants us to hear very strongly that it's not okay with him. But before we get to another piece of scripture, this is what Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Community Church in California had to say about gossip. He says, gossip is when we are talking about a situation or somebody else that we're not a part of a problem or a solution. He also talks about gossip being selling stolen goods. When we're gossiping, we are selling stolen goods. It's information that's not ours. It's something that we're stealing from somebody else and giving to somebody else. It is stolen goods. That's a serious offense, selling stolen goods. Look what God has to say about it in Proverbs chapter 6. He says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. What is one of them? Verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You see, gossip is as important to God enough that it makes his top six or seven list. He detests it. He hates it. And he says it's not good for anybody or in any way, shape, or form or for anything. And you say, why is it such a big deal to God but not such a big deal to us? Here's the first question. This is why it's such a big deal to God. Now listen, you've been gossiped about before, but have you ever had gossip about your kids come to you? Now listen, if you gossip about me or somebody gossips about me, I can handle that. I'm an adult. I'll move on. I'll figure out how to live and move on into the next day. But if I catch wind that, you know, one of my kids is being gossiped about, man, I'm ready to go back crazy on somebody. I'm ready to throw punch somebody. I mean, think about it. You ever have those feelings well up in you? Listen, you can mess with me, but you don't mess with my kids, right? And so what God is saying is when you gossip about people on this earth, you're gossiping about who? You're gossiping about his kids. You're gossiping about God's children, one of his creation. And he gets angry by that. He hates it. It's detestable to him. Why? Because it's one of his kids. So why do we participate in gossip, even though we think it's wrong, even though we know it hurts? Well, the reason we participate in gossip is because we kind of have a sick attraction to it. Let's just be honest here today. I mean, there's just something tantalizing about gossip. There's just something juicy about gossip. We just kind of have this kind of attraction to gossip. Consider what it says in Proverbs in chapter 18, verse 8. Words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. And so he's saying, hey, listen, words of a gossip are kind of tasty. It kind of tastes good. It kind of fills the tummy. It kind of makes you go, good. I mean, there's something about it that we just like, even though it might be sick and it might be twisted. Here's three anonymous people, and here are their confessions on the concept of gossip. Here's the first person. Here's what they had to say. It says, it makes me feel important, like I have power over the situation. It makes me feel elevated. The second person says, you know, hearing gossip makes me feel better about myself. Hearing about the other bad things that are happening in people's lives makes my life feel a little bit better. The third anonymous person says, well, I've got a boring and dull life, and this kind of juicy gossip kind of stuff and what other people are about and what's going on in other people's lives, that's kind of entertaining for me. Kind of excites me a little bit. And when you stop and think about it, if we're honest, there really is no good reason for gossip. And there's no good reason for making God's children look bad. It's just dark and it's twisted, and it doesn't do anybody any good. And all it does is it breaks relationships, it breaks our souls, and it breaks our connection with God, and it doesn't honor him in the long run, and it hurts people. It hurts people. Now, we can agree today that just because we may do it, just because people may do it, doesn't mean that gossip pleases God. Today, we want to commit to living to a higher calling. We want to commit to growing in Christ, and we want to commit to him searching our hearts and removing anything that keeps us from honoring him with our life. We want to honor him with the Bible and with the word that he gives us and honor and please him and realize that what's a big deal to God ought to be a big deal to us. And if gossip is a big deal to God, then gossip ought to be a big deal to us. If God's children are a big deal to him, then God's children ought to be a big deal to us. And so we want to talk about three simple steps to overcoming the sin of gossip. Actually, three different questions around overcoming the sin of gossip. Number one, is my conversation helpful or hurtful? This is the first question you can ask about gossip. Because some of us, we wonder from time to time, is it really gossip? Is it not really gossip? And so the answer to the question is my conversation helpful or hurtful? How about a guy by the name of Saul? A guy by the name of Saul who persecuted Christians, helped Christians be murdered, stoned to death, and he had a lot of bad things to say about Christ followers behind their backs and to their faces. He gave his life to Christ, and when Christ filled him, he became Paul, and he had a whole new life. And Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus, and consider his background. Consider the words, the negative words, the anger, the hatred that he used to spew about people. And now look what he writes after he found Christ. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. But only what is helpful for building others up. Consider the source. Consider where he was. And consider now what he writes. In the book of Proverbs, in the Old Testament, it says this, scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. It's described as a destructive blaze. A blaze only needs to start with a spark. It only needs to start with one little moment of fire, one little strike of a match, and all of a sudden it can set an entire room or an entire house or an entire country ablaze. And this is what God is reminding us of, is one little word can set an entire blaze in our friendships, in our relationships. And we have to ask ourselves this question, is what I'm saying helpful or hurtful? And as a pastor, I've got to keep guard of this because I can't have a reputation of being a gossip because I'm carrying intimate information that people have shared with me. Pastor Nancy's the same way. Details about life, sins, challenges, brokenness. And people need to be able to trust that that's going to stay with me and it's not going to go to somebody else. But I've got to confess to you that gossip is something that I struggle with from time to time. And I've got to say, hey, time out, John, where are you? Why are you doing this? Where are you going with this? And for example, last year in our community, I'm not here at the church, but in our community, there was a person that I had some thoughts about and some ideas that I didn't necessarily agree with. And so I shared that with the person here and there and that person, and I kind of just act disgruntled. And then every once in a while, somebody would come to me and want to talk about that person. And boy, there's nothing juicier in your life. If we can get real honest here, there's nothing juicier in our life is that when we have a frustration with somebody and someone comes to us and shares that frustration, oh my. It's kind of like that little morsel that we take in. And so now we get to join in and commiserate together. And we can triangulate because now we can form a posse and we can go to that person and say, it's not just my feelings, but it's their feelings. That's called triangulation, by the way, and that doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor God anyway. So I was living in this moment. And it finally came to me, God convicted me and said, you need to go make this right. And so watch this now. I actually went to this person when the dust settled. And I sat across from them and I said, I need to confess something to you. I set up an appointment just to meet with them. And I said, I've been saying some things that I needed to come and say to you, but I've been saying them to somebody else. And I come and I owe you an apology. I'm sorry. I have not been practicing what I've been preaching over there at Rolling Plains Church. And I confess that to you, and I just pray that you would have the gracious nature and the ability to be able to forgive me in that. But secondly, I also wanted to give you the opportunity to hear some of my thoughts and concerns that I should have come to you with to begin with, rather than going to somebody else with them. And you know what this person said to me? They said, you know what? I knew that this was going on out there, but I will tell you this, not one person has come to me until you've come down and sat with me. Think about that for a second. How much pain are we in this world today? Where people need help and people need to grow, but we refuse to go to the person that we need to, that we have the issue with, and we go to everybody else, and that everybody else never goes to that person one-on-one and loves on them enough and honors them enough to share the concerns and their frustrations with them. And so this is exactly what I did. And so it turned out to be a confession that prayerfully led to forgiveness, that led to be a blessing, because we were able to sit down and actually talk through a couple of these things. And I'm learning this. I'm trying to discover this in my own life. So where are you with this? Where are you with struggling about talking about somebody when you should be going to them, or talking about somebody to somebody else and using a compliment sandwich? We use a compliment sandwich to justify our gossip. How do we do that? Well, before we get to the juicy dirt, we start off by saying, oh, God bless their souls. What a neat person. They're just the best baseball player in the whole world, but blah, 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 blah. And then what do? We do the sandwich. We bring the other piece of the bun right underneath it. And then we end with something nice. Oh, and God bless their souls. What a great person they are. I had a great experience with them last week. But in the middle is some juicy meat that shouldn't be a part of our life, that we've stolen from them and we're carrying those stolen goods. This is how we justify this stuff, right? We start off by saying something nice, then we say something negative, and then we follow it up with something nice, something nice. And so we say to ourselves, how can we live in these kind of awful conversations, this issue that could just simply set ablaze to something? And it happens so regularly. Listen, you want to know the number one place in the world, maybe where gossip takes place the most, and it would surprise you? It's in your local church. And it's not just here at Rolling Plains. This is a challenge for every local church. But we want to do our best to honor God with who we are, because we have such great opinions and strong opinions about people and how they ought to live. And oftentimes it comes across as gossip. And it happens in ministry groups. It happens in prayer groups. It happens in life group Bible studies, where we get together and all it takes is one person to share a negative thought about a person, and it's an issue that sparks and it sets ablaze to a conversation that goes like, hey, listen, yeah, can you believe that this person did this or they said that? What are they doing up there? That's just awful. How in the world can he or she do that? And sadly, what we're sharing hasn't even happened that way, or a lot of what we're sharing isn't even true, and yet nobody puts a stop to it. How about oftentimes when we get in a prayer group, whether it's in our life group Bible study, or we're in a prayer group, or we're praying in our ministry team or our ministry group, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden someone just starts praying out loud and they're saying, oh Lord God, my sister so-and-so, she's been sinning a lot. She's been hanging out at her boyfriend's house till 3 o'clock in the morning, and she's just a sinner. Lord, we need to pray for her salvation. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. Or you hear a prayer like this, man, this guy I know, and that person names it in the prayer group, and their wife, then they're just always yelling at each other. Their marriage is a mess. Their kids are a mess. We just need to pray the demons up out of that household. Whoa. Now you think, yeah, okay, maybe some of that might be true. And yeah, you're praying about it and you're talking to God, but you're doing it corporately. And just because it's true doesn't mean it's helpful. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's helpful. 2 weeks ago, we talked about lying. And you say, well, are we always to tell the truth? Yes, everything we say should be truthful, but not everything that's truthful is helpful. And so just because it's truthful doesn't mean we have the right to share it with a bunch of other people about somebody else, even if we want to coin it in the terms of prayer. We might think we're honoring God, but we're actually dishonoring that person, and in the process, dishonoring God. You know, you think to yourself, boy, that dress is ugly. I just got to tell somebody about it. Okay? Listen, that might be true, but that's not going to help anybody. You think, man, that guy needs to do something with his hair, so you just got to tell somebody about it. You know what? That might be true, but that's not going to be helpful. It's hurtful. It's harmful. Are our words, is our conversation helpful or hurtful? Number two, am I making private matters public? Am I making private matters public? Question number two, am I making private matters public? Because we're supposed to keep a confidence, and that's what people want when they share information with us. In Proverbs chapter 11, the Bible says, it is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy keep what? Those who are trustworthy, they keep a confidence. So if you're involved in a life group Bible study here at Rolling Plains, and I pray that you are, it's a group of 5 to 12 people that get together to study God's word, to share concerns and to pray together. When someone's hurting, you show up at their house. When someone has a need, you're there to care for them. And it's just a way for a large church to become smaller. And oftentimes, and I know in our life group, it gets to the point where you're really sharing some intimate stuff and having people pray about some difficult challenges in your life. So say, for instance, you have a couple in your life group, and they're really struggling in their marriage, and one of the spouses shows up to group, and the other spouse isn't coming anymore because it's just so hurtful. And that spouse says, hey, listen, I need you guys to pray for us. I need you to pray for our marriage. And would you keep that to yourself? And then the next day, one of the loving people in that group, out of love, gets on Facebook and puts on Facebook, you need to pray for couple so-and-so because their marriage is really struggling. Now, let me ask you a question. We might do that in the name of God and in the name of trying to help them and have as many people pray for them as possible. But what do you think is going to happen to that spouse that didn't attend that life group meeting that night when they read about that? Do you think that's going to help that relationship? Do you think it's going to help that marriage? Or do you think it's just going to drive a wedge even further into that marriage? Think about this kind of stuff. That's not going to help the marriage. It's not going to help anybody. But yet we think that we're doing right when we're sharing this kind of stuff. But it doesn't. It's just hurtful. Am I making private matters public? You know, what we share, when it's been shared in secret, when we share it out loud, can destroy people, and it can destroy our trust. If you want to destroy a relationship quickly, you share private information publicly. I mean, nothing will erode people's trust in you, and nothing will erode your integrity more than when we share private information publicly. And we do this from time to time. We'll get a text message, and we think it's harmless. We'll just, well, can you believe this text I got from so-and-so, and you forwarded it on to a friend? That's gossip. What about an email? You know, you blind copy somebody to an email because someone said such and such and you didn't like that, and so you forward it on to somebody else. And I mean, none of us would pick up the phone and call 600 to 1,000 of our closest friends and share with them this issue we have with our spouse or this issue we have with our child or this issue we have with whoever out there in society. But this is what we do when we get on Facebook or social media, when we get on Twitter, and we post something about somebody that we just don't care about or care for, and they did this to us, and we got 1,000 friends that see this kind of stuff. Listen, I mean, we got to pay attention to what we do and why we do it, because this doesn't honor God and it doesn't honor them when we go off on social media about a person or an organization or something that happened that involves somebody else that's not necessarily we're part of the conversation. It's meant to be private, but we've made it public, and this is dangerous in two ways, because number one, we need to protect others. We're called by God to protect others. We need to protect their hearts, protect their souls. We need to protect their privacy. We need to protect their feelings. And secondly, we need to protect ourselves. We need to protect ourselves. And when we throw up all over social media, it ruins our reputation. When we make private matters public, it ruins our reputation with a body of people, with individuals, and it just makes a mess of things. In Proverbs, the Bible says in chapter 25, verses 9 to 10, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain what? Regain your good reputation. You'll never regain your good reputation. I mean, when you're a gossip, it takes weeks and months and years for your reputation to be gathered back up. Now all of us have been a little bit comfortable to this point, because some of you might say, well, you know, I'm not a big gossiper. I don't really talk about people to a lot of people, and I don't take private matters public. But we're going to get you with this third one, because my goal here is to be an equal opportunity offender. And by golly, we're just going to try. Listen. If you're not offended by God's word, then you're not in God's word enough. If you're not offended by the word of God, you might just be Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. And I don't see either one of you in this room, so, okay? We ought to be offended from time to time by the word of God. It ought to be offensive to us. So hopefully this is going to offend some of us. I'm praying that it will. Here's the third question we ought to ask. Am I permitting others to gossip to me? Am I permitting others to gossip to me? Watch what God's word says here. This is powerful stuff. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4, God doesn't write stuff down just to let it fall into thin air. He records it because it's important. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to a gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. And so what he's saying here is we know that it's wrong to gossip, but he's also saying it is also a sin. It's also wrong for us to be a party to gossip, to listen to a person that's bringing juicy information to us about somebody else. Because what you permit is what you promote, and what you permit is also what you participate in. Now listen, we talked earlier about gossip being selling stolen goods. What is it when you listen to gossip? You're a buyer. You're a buyer of stolen goods. You're on the Craigslist of gossip. You're on eBay of gossip. I mean, you become a buyer. And did you know in this country, the punishment for buying stolen goods is almost as bad or greater as selling stolen goods? You want to know why? Because if you eliminate the buyer, there'll be no more selling. And if there are no buyers, then there's no need for sellers. And if there are no buyers in gossip, if there's nobody to listen to any gossip, would there ever been a word of gossip ever spoken again? No, because gossip requires a listener. Gossip requires a buyer. And some of us, we're buying, we're listening, and it's harmless because we don't want to offend anybody, so we just let it happen. You know, sometimes we don't even participate in it, but we listen to it, and we don't redirect them in any way, shape, or form. Am I permitting others to gossip? And this is kind of how it starts. People come to you and say, hey, I've got this. I got this piece of information about so-and-so, or you're not going to believe what just happened, or man, I heard this about so-and-so and such-and-such. And we've got to learn to draw a line. We've got to say, hey, listen, we're not going to go there. I don't want to be a participant in this in any way, shape, or form. But some of us, we allow ourselves to be sounding boards. And we say things like, well, people just come to me with stuff. You want to know why people come to you with stuff? It's because you're a buyer. Listen, if you advertise on Craigslist and eBay that you're a buyer, they're going to sell it to you. And they're going to find you. If you're one of those people where you say, well, people just bring stuff to me all the time about other people. You want to know who's the problem? Not them, you. Because you're not putting a stop to it. And guess what? When someone is a buyer, they get a reputation. They get a reputation that, listen, this is somebody I can go to and I can commiserate with and I can gossip with, and I'm not going to be held accountable. And oh, by the way, they're going to commiserate with me, and I'm going to feel better about myself in a situation, and I'm going to have power to go after that other person because they're going to go with me and they're going to triangulate. And so we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful what we do in our lives, because it's not just about are we gossiping, but it is about are we being gossiped to, and what kind of attention are we paying to that? And because the more we gossip and the more we allow people to gossip to us, the more people are going to come to us and gossip to us. And then we become a part of a destructive blaze that we don't want to be any part of, because it just leads to a dark place. So here are four roads to stop this kind of conversation. If you have people that come to you and you feel like a sounding board, or just in a singular situation, someone is just gossiping to you. You can do it the subtle way, the loving way, the direct way, or the attitude way. And I know some of you in here are ready to just have some attitude with somebody. So here's the four simple ways. The first way is the subtle way. Hey, listen, I'm not feeling comfortable with this conversation. Can we talk about something else? That's kind of subtle, isn't it? That's a subtle way. Some of you are subtle. Some of you are not so subtle. Some of you are loving. I mean, you just love people. And so you have the second way. Hey, if so-and-so knew that we were talking about them right now, would they be hurt? That's a loving question. Now, some of you need to ramp up your game a little bit, and you need to go into level number three, because the first two sometimes don't work. Or they work for that moment, and that person comes back to you. Then you go to number three. And the number three is direct. Hey, listen, have you talked with them yet? Have you talked with them first? Because if you haven't, I can't entertain this conversation. And if you want to go and talk to them, that's fine. And if that doesn't work out, then come back to me, and I'd be happy to sit in it as a third party. But I'm not going to commiserate with you, and I'm not going to join you in your feelings. I'll sit in with the two of you, and we'll try to help work things out. That sounds like something straight out of Scripture. Somebody help me out here. Is that Matthew 18 or what? I mean, think about this kind of thing. What a great question. Have you gone to that other person? It's a question I ask 9 times out of 10 when someone else's name gets mentioned, and then it's followed by a statement. I say, have you talked to them first? Or sometimes you need to just go the attitude route, number four. Listen, if you're going to go there, I can't keep going there with you, and we're not going to be able to hang out anymore, and you got some attitude in there, and you say, listen, I love you, and I want to be your friends, but we just can't hang out anymore because I can't have these conversations anymore. It's dragging me down. It drags you down, whether you know it or not, and it's dragging everybody else out there down, who, by the way, are children of God, and I'm not going to stand for it anymore. You got to do that with some attitude. Snap some fingers at them or something. I mean, get the hand going, back of the hand sometimes. I mean, sometimes you just got to get some kind of attitude in there, because God calls us to live to a higher calling, does he not? God calls us to live to a higher set of standards that are found in his word. Now, the question is, do we never talk about another person to somebody else? You know, there are a few exceptions. I mean, you can brag all day long about somebody if you want to. If you want to talk about somebody all day long, brag them up. Listen, you ought to be a gossip of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that there's not too far of a difference between a gossip and a gospel? Listen, if somebody wants you to gossip about them, if anybody, it would be Jesus. Jesus would love for you to go and gossip about him. You ought to go to people and tell them about all the wrong mistakes that Paul ever made in Scripture and the struggles that Peter had. Share all that juicy information about them. They would love it. It would be fair game, because they're using it for all to see in God's word. And so in this moment, we gossip about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we can also just, we can build people up anytime they're not around. Feel free to gossip all you want about somebody's well-being, about the great stuff that they're doing, the great things that are happening in their life. You want to share that with somebody else? That's fair game. And here's a couple principles. Number one, saying something constructive you would say in front of them. That's a good principle and rule to live by. You know, this is something that you would say to somebody if they were standing right there with you, even though they're not. You're saying something constructive you would say in front of them. Like, so you say to somebody, hey, listen, I've already shared this with so-and-so, so I can share this with you. And they're aware of it, and they know it, and you guys have talked through it and worked through it. Now, here's a good inkling if you're gossiping. If the person you're talking about with the other person walks into the room and all of a sudden you feel guilty, all of a sudden you change the topic, all of a sudden you pretend you were talking about bacon or something else. I mean, listen, that is a good sign indicator that the Spirit of God is nurturing your soul to say that is gossip. And here's the second time we can really talk about somebody when they're not present is when everyone in the conversation wants to help that person out. Genuinely loving them. Everyone in the conversation wants to help that person out. And so you have a friend who's battling an addiction and you've talked to them about it and it's not working. You have another friend who's talked to that friend about their addiction and they're ignoring them as well. And so you love that person enough to not let them destroy their life. And you go to them in love and in truth and in grace. And you approach them and say, listen, you're messing up your life and we love you enough to talk to you about this. Or you know, guys, if you're in a life group or Bible study with a couple and this guy's cheating on his wife and you love both of them enough, you say, listen, we need to go in love and talk to this brother in Christ of ours and say, hey, listen, what's going on is not good. We love you enough to approach you and talk to you about this and we want to do it in grace and in truth. So everyone in the conversation wants to help that person. In the end, the bottom line is we've just got to realize that our words matter. Your words matter. My words matter. They are important and they are powerful. Our words can bless somebody and our words can also destroy somebody. It doesn't take a firearm or it doesn't take a knife or it doesn't take a baseball bat physically to do harm to people. Our words can do those kinds of things. Our words can destroy lives, but our words can also build somebody up. We can lift people to the highest heights with our words, or we can bury them in the ground with our words. And we need to realize that our words matter. Look what Scripture says in the book of Matthew. The author Matthew writes this, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will also be condemned." And so God is saying, your words have power on both ends. Your words can be a supreme blessing, or your words can offer supreme destruction in people's life. And so if we're going to get caught speaking about somebody to somebody else, let it be because we are speaking well of that person. If we're going to use our words, let us say helpful things. If we're going to use our words, let it be part of the solution and not part of the problem. If we're going to use our words, let it be positive and not negative. Let us build other people up and not tear them down. Let our words be seasoned with grace and truth and love and things that honor God. Let us use our words in a way to be able to be a blessing to people, because our words are powerful and our words reflect our character. If we want to know somebody's character, all we have to do is watch what they're saying. And the Bible tells us that, listen, our mouth is a doorway to our souls. What comes out of our mouth is an indicator as to where our hearts are and where our character is in our life. And there's a reason why it's called the gospel. There's a reason why it's called good news. It's called good news because God has a word for us. And the word that he gives us in Scripture and in the Bible is good news for you and for me. It's great news, as a matter of fact. And so when God gives us a word, we read his word in Scripture. And when he gives us a word, it's filled with blessing. It's filled with grace. It's filled with power. It's filled with life and building us up, not condemning us, not offering us death. And so if his word gives us life, then our words need to give life to his children. Our words need to give life to his children. And so if we think that gossip isn't a big deal, then we need to get more into God's word to realize that it is. It's detestable to him. He hates gossip because he calls us to a higher calling. And when we speak about other people, may it be that we speak life and never that we're speaking death. Here's a couple of action steps for you, and we're going to wrap up. The first one is, go to somebody this week that you should have gone to first. I shared my example with you. Every single one of you has a conversation that popped into your mind when I shared my example with you. Now, it's going to be with a different person. I don't know. Maybe it's the same person. Who knows? But go to that person that you should have gone to first rather than going to somebody else and gossiping about, and work towards reconciliation. Number two, stop yourself this week from gossiping, or stop a friend from gossiping to you. Just do the whole time out thing and stop yourself right then and there and say, I'm not going to go down this path. And then also to your friend and say, listen, I don't want you to go down this path because there's better things we can do than talk about so-and-so and such and such. We can talk about blessing that person. We can pray for them. We can go to them, but I'm not going to entertain these kinds of conversations. And so we put a stop to our own gossip and we put a stop to purchasing stolen goods in our life. What do you think about that? We do that this week? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We do this because our lives matter. We do this because God wants us to live in a way that honors Him. And so we want God to search us in every way, shape, and form with the big things and with the small things. Praise be to God.
Well, good morning. We're so glad that you were able to spend this time with us. We hope you've been as blessed as we have been. We want to invite you to remove your connection card from your bulletin. We thank all of you who attend Rolling Plains faithfully for completing this each week. It's just our way of keeping track who came through our doors every Sunday morning. If you have new information that you can update, feel free to do so. Otherwise, just include your name and the service you attended. It's just our way of being sure we can keep you up to date on things.